Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We say welcome to one and all. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You are watching the program called Reformation of the Ummah in the company of our honorable, respected, beloved Mawlana Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah, Subhanallah. We hope that you will connect and stay connected with us until the end of tonight's episode. Sayyidi, before we go any further into our discussion, how has the day been treating you?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah's rahmah. Every day is a good day. Every day is an opportunity to do good. And Alhamdulillah, today was the same. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the day has been treating me well, and I'm hopeful that inshallah this program will also go well. I thank our viewers of Madani Channel for joining us. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, together we're going to learn more about the deen. And together we're going to be motivated, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, to return to the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in true repentance.
Ya baati Madini ki, subhanallah. I'm ready, Sayyidi. And I think every Muslim at every step in our lives, because daily we commit sins knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally or unintentionally, no person can say, well, I spent my day today completely in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gosh, it could be that state, you know. And this is my husn zan that we should be spending our moments like that. But somewhere down the line, we end up making rebirth, backbiting, slandering, tale-telling. And it happens, ya Sayyidi, the doors of evils are always open. You know, I heard from Amir al-Sunnat once that even in the books we have read as well, that if a sensible person has to be with some person from morning to evening, perhaps he could give you a list of the sins we may have committed. Just to keep someone with us, that please, every time I make a sin, don't tell me same time, just write it down and give me by the end of the day so that I'm aware of the gunas and sins I have committed. And perhaps there will be a list that can be given to a person, because we say that we do not commit sins, and we try not to, but Shaitan wants us to follow his path. Today, families have split. There are so much of argumentations between spouses, husband and wife. There are separations because of various matters, ya Sayyidi. And if you really look at it, why did it happen? This one took this one story to that one. That one took this that one story to this one. In between was tale-telling. In between was argumentation. In between was just not having husn-e-zan, positive opinions and thoughts about the next person. So all of this puts us and pushes us into the pits of sins, ya Sayyidi. Thus, we say we make tawbah. And let's start from this point, ya Sayyidi, that since the Qur'an Pak has emphasized on us repenting over and again, time and again, the Qur'an Pak, you will find Allah Kareem loves those who repent. Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those people who repent in His bargah. But ya Sayyidi, just saying astaghfirullah, tawbah, tawbah, some people do ishara, you know, tawbah, tawbah. And is this sufficient for true repentance? How does repentance actually work? Can you shed some light on this matter?
Yes, subhanAllah, you mentioned firstly the need for us to repent. And that's very important for us all to understand that we're in need of this tawbah. We have sins day and night. Many a times we don't even realize that we are committing sins. But there are, people just think that sin is, example, missing salah. Sin is drinking alcohol. Sin is, you know, a few things that can be listed. But there are various sins. There are sins that we commit just by our feelings and our hearts. Allah. There are sins that we commit by our tongues. There are internal sins. There are external sins. And so there are many sins that we do, but as people, generally, as society, we do end up committing. And we must make tawbah and return to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we speak about tawbah, the first thing that comes to mind is saying tawbah, tawbah, to say astaghfirullah. Now, the big question is this tawbah and is this the end of the road? That's tawbah and I've achieved. Actually speaking, that is, saying astaghfirullah, I would not say it's not tawbah at all, but it's only a part of tawbah. It is a part of tawbah. Tawbah actually is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, istighfar, seeking Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, is a part of returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does one make tawbah? The first thing that one needs to do before making tawbah or when making tawbah is to recognize the sin that they have committed. You need to admit that sin to yourself, admit that sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize the sin. So for example, if someone, let's say, missed salah, then they need to recognize that I have missed salah and this is a bad deed.
Sure.
I'm not supposed to have done this. They're supposed to admit in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that I have done wrong. The one who does not admit his or her sin, there's not much hope for that person to ever make tawbah. Because if someone is doing something bad, and then that person is thinking that it's good, why would they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and ask for forgiveness? So they have to recognize the sin. After recognizing the sin, the next step to tawbah is to feel a regret, to feel a remorse, to feel a nadama in the heart for having committed that sin. And this nadama, this nadam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-nadmu tawbah." That this nadama is tawbah itself.
This feeling
of remorse and regret in the heart is the very essence of tawbah. And so we have to feel bad about the sin. We shouldn't feel proud about the sin. Now in today's time as well, you find people that, without specifically speaking on anyone, but it's a trend in society that when people do tend to commit sins, after their sins, they tend to boast about the sin. That although they left the habit, they left the sin, but there's a boasting that takes place regarding the sin. That, I used to do this certain thing. And there's a sense of pride that you feel in that person having committed the sin. This is not good. This is not showing regret. You need to actually feel remorseful. After we felt bad that we've done that deed, we regret, we are remorseful for having committed the deed. Now is the time for istighfar. Now we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. There are various words of tawbah, even from the blessed ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we learn inshallah in today's program. But now you need to repent in the court of Allah that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, please forgive me. After you are regretful for having committed the sin, you identified the sin, you admitted it, you are regretful for having committed it, now ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you for that sin. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, we have strong hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for that sin. Now after that step of istighfar, the tawbah is not yet complete. Istighfar is done. Tawbah is not yet complete until you make that firm niyyah never to commit the sin again.
Allah.
Now here too, if someone is saying astaghfirullah for something that they did now, but they intend to commit the same sin tomorrow, so how is that returning to Allah Azza wa Jal? It has to be a complete return. And how is that going to take place? By us also committing to never committing the sin again. That means we say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I make a firm niyyah, a firm intention, that I'm not going to return to that sin. Oh Allah, please make it easy for me not to return to the sin. And make dua. Make dua not to return to the sin. Allah Azza wa Jal will help us. We need to reach out. We need to call out to Allah Azza wa Jal. We need to beg Allah Azza wa Jal, plead in His court that, oh Rabb, I am going to try. Please make it easy for me.
Okay.
Please strengthen me so that I don't return to that sin.
SubhanAllah, Masab, very beautiful points you have mentioned here. And I think this is the case of many people, right? But the question again is that, when people sin, many people say, but Allah knows our weakness, we are insan. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Arhamur Rahimeen. You know, he has created Jahannam, but He also created Jannah.
SubhanAllah.
So you must have shed some light on that aspect as well, because I think this is that point where people begin to start taking advantage of the situation. So Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah Kareem is most merciful. But how do you draw the line, and how can we make that a point for us not to be motivated to commit guna, but to turn more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes, mashallah. Actually, our scholars advise us that a Muslim person, he is bayn al-khawfi wa raja. He is between hope and fear. He is between fear and hope. That means that you must fear the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have hope in the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. What we have seen in today's time, what we notice, all of us notice, that people have leaned a lot towards hope in the mercy of Allah azza wa jal, and they've forgotten that we need to fear the adab of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is most forgiving. Allah Azza wa Jal is most kind. He is most generous. Azza wa Jalla. At the same time, we must keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jahannam. Allah Azza wa Jal has made adab. And they are those people who will receive the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now our deeds, our a'mal. Our amal don't have a set weight that this amal is 1 kg and that is 2 kg. The weight of our amal is dependent upon the pleasure or displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is possible that someone could do a good deed that seems very minor, like a very small good deed, but it earns him the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's forgiven.
Wow.
At the same time, a sin that is considered by the people to be a very small sin, but that sin earns the displeasure of Allah Azza wa Jal to the extent that that person is held accountable and punished for that sin. So what will we do if it's just one sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds us accountable for? And yes, He Azza wa Jal has all the right to hold us accountable for any sin. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal holds us accountable for one sin, then we are in difficulty. We are unable to answer for just one sin. We are unable to face the azab for any sin. And therefore, it's important to understand Allahu that Akbar. I can't manage the least form of azab. Our scholars explain to us in the books regarding Jahannam, and they tell us that the lowest form, the smallest form of azab in Jahannam, the kuffar will face this. That the lowest form of azab in Jahannam is that a person will be made to wear shoes of fire that will cause so much of difficulty to that person, that would burn that person so much that the heat of that fire from the shoes would cause the person's brain to boil. Now, if we just think, can we manage to bear just that? We can't. Can we manage it for a minute? No. Can we manage it for a second? We can't. Can we manage it for a split second? We can't manage it. If we can't manage the lowest form of the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jahannam, then how can we be bold in committing sins? We can't be bold in committing
sins. Even on this point here, ulama ikram have stated that it would lead to kufr if a person believes that I will tolerate the adab of Allah.
Absolutely. One cannot bear the adab of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If someone just thinks that, I can bear it. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If someone just feels like I can bear the adab of Allah Azza wa Jalla, immediately that person will leave the fold of Islam. It's very dangerous. Allah. It's very dangerous to think, to be so bold, to think that it's okay. We cannot manage the adab of Allah. But at the same time, we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it? So if we want to please Allah Azza wa Jal, what are ways of pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal? Yes, we are insan and we do sin, we do commit mistakes, we do have faults and flaws. But Allah Azza wa Jal becomes pleased with the one who repents. All of us, insan, human beings in general, are sinful. We do commit sins. But the best of these people who commit sins and mistakes, the best are those who repent in the God of Allah Azza wa Jal. So let's see how much Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with the one who repents. There's a beautiful hadith that I'd like to share as
labbaik,
well.
Labbaik.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that Allah Azza wa Jal is more pleased with the repentance of His servant than the one who loses his camel in the desert and then suddenly finds it. What an imagery Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam creates in our minds. That if there's a person who has all of his belongings on his camel and he's in the desert, that's his life support, all right? Just a person that he wants that camel and he stays with that camel and that camel accompanies him and that's his life support in the desert. If that camel gets lost and he now lost his life support, he lost his water, he lost his food, he lost everything and he's in the heat of the desert. And such a person now is laying upon the floor in thirst, dehydration, losing hope that how am I going to survive? If suddenly this person just sees his camel, how much of joy it will bring to his heart? It will bring so much of joy to his heart. He will be so pleased that he has seen his camel. How pleased this person is. Now without comparison, because that is just it. It's a story. And it's a waqi'ah for us to understand the joy or the pleasure that such a person will experience. For us to understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said and taught us that when a abd, when a servant repents in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal is even more pleased than that person could have been.
Allah.
How much Allah loves that we return to His court. How much Allah loves that we do tawbah to Him. So yes, we may have committed mistakes and we have committed sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when we return to Allah Azza wa Jal and we plead in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to please forgive us and help us never to commit acts of disobedience to Him again.
Subhanallah. So when people give this expression that hum insan hai, you know, dear viewers, we insan, we are humans, we commit sins, we are bound to commit sins. Yes, dear viewers. Because Allah Kareem knows better than us that He Azza wa Jalla has placed temptations and attractions in front of Jahannam. And hardships were placed in front of Jannah.
Allah Allahu Akbar.
When Jibreel alayhi salam seen the temptations surrounding the hellfire itself, he alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems as if no one would save themselves but will enter this place. Allahu Akbar. So, yes, Allah Azza wa Jalla has, and the example that we often see, Ya Sayyidi, in the books of Ahadith with regards to how people were forgiven, as you've given the example, you know, if you open Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, you will find just forgiving thirsty dog water, this big sinner was forgiven. Many examples like this, right?
SubhanAllah.
So when ulama ikram emphasize on these examples, it's not to make a person more bold to commit sins, but rather it is a motivation that if you commit sins, Allah is willing to make you maaf.
So
the example is to show you that, see how that person who gave the thirsty dog water to drink was forgiven, you too can be forgiven. It's not to make you more bold to commit more sins. It's not to give us more encouragement and to give us the ability and more power and audacity to continue committing sins. No,
right.
This is never the case. But the case is for us to draw motivation from that lesson of how that person was forgiven. And now, inshallah, Zawajalla, I also want to be motivated to make tawbah in the court of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
But now, we fight with our parents.
Mm.
No. We fight with our spouses. Many husbands out there beat their wives, kick, hit, and they do bad stuff. And after that, you bring a chocolate to please.
Mm.
Bring a sweet to please. Ask for maafi. She may have made you maaf because she can't go anywhere. Well, let she go. And then the next day after, third day, fourth day, once again, the same repetition of swearing, vulgarism in front of the children. I'm just picking on one thing, because why, dear viewers? If one's akhlaq is best, automatically he'll make tawbah. Mm. If one's akhlaq isn't good, one's character isn't good, it will make him stay in the pits of sins for a longer time. And he will find it harder to repent, because why? A person is so immune to committing sins. So yes, we are insane. Allah knows our weakness, and that is why He's willing to forgive you if you move on to His court. If you place your forehead on the ground, you bow down, and you make sincere tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ya Sayyidi, numerous examples are from the blessed life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, what better examples do we give? I mean, him as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Many, many companions confessed what had happened in the court of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People run away from authorities, right?
Right.
People don't commit a crime and then go and tell to the authorities, I have committed this crime. But this is the status of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the prophetic approach of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that whenever anyone done anything wrong, they would feel free to come and confess in the court of Mustafa, because they knew this is that bargah from where forgiveness will be obtained. This is that bargah from where I will attain maafi and forgiveness as well. And Huzuri Pak Sallallahu Alaihi forgiven those who cause harm to his own family, to himself as well. So can you give us some examples? What was the actual prophetic approach without embarrassing or shaming the person? Somebody came and confessed their sin, and how the beloved Rasul had directed them towards tawbah itself.
SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. Actually, there are numerous waqi'at, right? When people would come, and if people had sinned, they'd come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have sinned in this way, I have sinned. And Rasulullah ﷺ would encourage them to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give them hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once someone came actually and, you know, certain crimes, there are punishments in place for those crimes. In order for the state to be able to run smoothly as well, in every country you have punishments for various crimes. So someone once committed a sin, and major crime or major sin, and came to confess in the court of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was a lady that she had committed the sin, she had committed a crime, and she came and she confessed the sin, and she said that I want that the punishment for the crime be carried out to me within the world. I don't want to face it in the akhirah. So the good mindset as well of the ashab of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they would rather have the difficulty be faced within the dunya so that they can have ease in the akhirah instead. SubhanAllah.
What a beautiful mindset, Sayyidi.
So, she at that time she was pregnant with her child, and Rasulullah sent her back and said, you go and give birth to the child, see to the child first, and then you return for your had or for
Allah,
the punishment
Allah,
for that
Allah,
crime
Allah.
So she had that chance. She could have actually went away and she could have run away, but she had it in her mind that I know I cannot run from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm answerable for my deeds, and rather I want that I be punished for the crime within the world. As time passed and the child was born and the child was well and looked after, then she returned to the court of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she requested that that punishment for the crime that has been stipulated, she wants that that be carried out upon her. Still really maybe be sacrificed upon the mindsets of the ashab of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their sincerity and the sincerity of their tawbah, the sincerity of their repentance. Nonetheless, it was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then had to carry out that punishment. It was obligatory because she came and she asked that it
Allah
must be carried out. As time passed, when all that took place, when this lady had passed on, she had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed her janazah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua of maghfirah.
Allahu Akbar.
Dua of forgiveness.
Subhanallah.
Umar radiallahu ta'ala was present. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this lady had committed a crime. She had committed such a major sin. And you are performing Salatul Janazah. You are making dua, you are praying for her forgiveness.
Allahu Akbar.
That how come you sallallahu alaihi wasallam are praying for her forgiveness while she had committed such a major crime, such a major sin? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised that Umar radiallahu ta'ala that she had repented of the sin. And her repentance was so great. Her repentance was so sincere that if that repentance, that tawbah, had to be distributed among 70 people of Madinatul Munawwara, 70 people of the city, it would have sufficed. It would have been sufficient for all of them.
Allah,
what
Akbar,
a sincere
Allah,
repentance Akbar, Allah, she had in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah was very, very merciful. Very merciful. Even if someone had done something wrong, here too, this lady had done something wrong, but subhanAllah, she was carrying a child, and Rasulullah said, no, you should not face the punishment now. Go and see to the child. He had so much of mercy and so much of mercy, and would even still honor people. If they admitted that they had done wrong and they were remorseful of it, he did not take away their honor. He would still honor them. He would still show love for them. He would still show mahabba to them. This is the beautiful waqi'ah that we know of, story that we know of, that upon Rasulullah's blessed conquest of Makkah. When Rasulullah conquered Makkah Sharif, just think about those people. Those people that were in Makkatul Mukarramah. Who were they? There was a time, some years before that, just about 8 years before that, and some time before that as well, that those people within Makkatul Mukarramah had tortured the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had tortured his blessed family. They had tortured his blessed companions. Sayyidina Bilal al-Habashi radiallahu ta'ala, just because he accepted Islam, he accepted the message of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was made to lay upon the ground without any shirt upon his body. He was made to lay upon the hot desert sand of Arabia. A stone placed upon his chest. His neck tied with a rope. And he would be dragged upon the ground and be told that you leave the deen of Islam. And he would still say, Ahad, Ahad. Allah is alone, Allah is alone. He never left the deen of Islam.
Allahu.
The beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through such difficulties in Makkatul Mukarramah, caused by those very dwellers, those very people of Makkatul Mukarramah at that time, who were disbelievers at that time. The beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would try to perform salah in at the Kaaba. They would take the insides, the intestines of animals and place it upon his back. There were 3 years that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his family members were boycotted in Makkatul Mukarramah, where no food was allowed to reach them, no drink was allowed to reach them. They were not to marry with any other tribes. No one was allowed to speak to them. There was such a severe boycott, and there was so much of difficulty in that time that the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would boil the skin of animals and eat that. People would they would eat the leaves of trees. It was such difficulty that the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through at the hands of these people. These people in Makkatul Mukarramah, the disbelievers of that time, they had caused such difficulty. Now when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conquered Makkatul Mukarramah, what do we think he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did to those people? What was it that they were expecting as well? They were thinking that today we're going to face the consequences of all of our torture, all of our oppression upon the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions. But when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Makkatul Mukarramah, having conquered Makkatul Mukarramah, being the ruler of Makkatul Mukarramah, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا تتريب عليكم اليوم اذهبوا أنتم الطلقاء, that today I am not taking any revenge against you. All of you are set free.
Subhanallah
Azza wa Jal. When they saw this mercy of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have punished them for the crimes they committed against him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but instead he had forgiven all of them. He had just forgiven them Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The result of that was that majority of the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, upon seeing this, they entered the deen of Islam. They believed in the prophethood of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately, because they realized that this quality of forgiveness, this quality of mercy, is not something that is just found among the general people. That's anybody. Yes, people have mercy, but when you oppress them and then they still show you mercy, this is something very special.
Something else.
It's something amazing. So this mercy, kindness of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you see here, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, and they all repented and they came into the fold of Islam. So even though they have committed such major crimes, even against the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had set them free and he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had advised them, and then Alhamdulillah,
Allahu
they had
Allah.
Repented, it shows us and it teaches us as well,
Allah,
that whatever
Allah.
The sin may have been, if we return to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, if we make tawbah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so merciful, he would forgive. Allah Azza wa Jal is the Khaliq of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He is the creator of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jal is Arhamur Rahimin. He is the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive us. We have to take that step to repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to take that step and plead in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that yes, we have wronged ourselves. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. This is a beautiful dua. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, we have wronged ourselves. We have committed an oppression against ourselves by committing sins. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And if you do not forgive us and have mercy on us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Then most definitely we will be amongst those who are in loss. So Allah Azza wa Jal, we are in need of your forgiveness. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal,
Ameen. Allahumma Ameen. Allahumma Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahu Akbar. Ya Sayyidi, at this point, after listening to all of the beautiful points you have mentioned, you know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as As-Salam,
alhamdulillah,
as Ra'uf and Rahim. All these names are in actual the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat and the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla. But subhanAllah, Hazrat Qazi Ayaz al-Maliki rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he has mentioned that 30 names are such that Allah azza wa jalla has even bestowed upon His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the names of Allah azza wa jalla, but he shared those names with his beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, Alim, Ra'uf, Rahim. And see, subhanallah, how the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the reflection of these qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we wanted to see the rahmat of Allah azza wa jalla, how did we witness the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Dear viewers, in the previous times, nations were swallowed and they were affected by a complete and total punishment. A punishment that surrounded the entire city. They were destroyed, swallowed by the earth, swept by the storms, shaken by earthquakes, their faces were disfigured, so on and so forth. Lekin when it came to the Ummat of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, previous nations of other messengers of Allah azza wa jalla, when they asked for the adab to descend from the sky, there was no delay. They asked for the adab and their prophets requested Allah azza wa jalla to send the adab for them. Adab did come. Subhanallah. When this ummah, out of their sins, requested for the azab to descend, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِ. Allahu Akbar. This does not befit the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He punishes them, oh dear Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst you reside amongst them.
Wow.
Allahu Akbar. So, we see in the rahmat of Allah Azza wa Jalla from which angle? That He Azza wa Jalla made His beloved Habib mercy for us. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent you not but as mercy to all the worlds. Subhanallah. So we are so fortunate that we are receiving this rahmah and mercy. And because of the beloved Rasul, this azab, which is collective azab, had stopped. And now we think that now we commit no sins. But previous times and previous nations, what happened to the qawm of Nuh alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Huda alayhi salam, all these great prophets of Allah azza wa jalla who preached and preached, and when they were tired of the nations, they requested Allah, Ya Rahman Rahimin, they refused to believe in you. But in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually raised his hand and says, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'alamun.
Allah.
Oh Allah, guide them, they don't know who am I. Oh Allah azza wa jalla, if not them, then the nations will embrace iman and faith. Subhanallah, he would tell his sahaba that I would not curse them, because why? If not them, then the children will embrace Islam. So this is the rahmat already upon us of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the azab is stopped because of him. Punishment had stopped because of him. And yet, we are still unable to repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the only thing left is, one thing will separate us from this world, and that is death, dear viewers. Because Masab, death is a door through which every soul will have to pass by.
Absolutely.
Right? And until that door is not open for the person, until you do not have to pass through the door, you have the time to make istighfar. You have the time to make tawbah. So remaining heedless of the, you know, dire consequences of sins is what we need to focus on. That what will happen if I'm going to continuously commit sins like this? Some brothers are waiting for Eid day to come. On Eid day, I'll make maafi. Some are waiting for the white strands to show. Then I'm going to make muafi and istighfar. Some are waiting to get married. Abhi main jawan hu. Let me get a little bit older. Then I'm going to start making tawbah. When is the right time? It's never, because this whole dunya is about confusing us. The more we fall in love with the dunya, the more further away from tawbah we're going to go. Automatically, it's like that. The more into the world we're going to dive, then the more further away from Allah's rahmat we're going to become, dear viewers. It's automatic situation and system. So what we need to do is divorce the dunya, put the dunya aside, and for a moment think, wallah, think, whose hearts have you broken today? How many people have you broken family ties with? All these are major sins. Our du'as will not be answered as well. They are brothers who are drinking alcohol. They are Muslims who are involved in clubbing, in sinning, in gambling. Astaghfirullah. All these are major sins. The time is today. Aaj, abhi, isi, waqt. Make tawbah. Because if you only made intention to make tawbah, and for some reason something happens to you, because of that niyyah, it is still hoped Allah will forgive you.
Subhanallah.
This is the power of tawbah. This is the power of repentance. That the thought of performing the tawbah and action towards that, like the person who committed 99 murders in the time of Bani Israel. And when he asked a monk, a person, about what do you think about this, he says, nah, there's no tawbah for you. And we are teaching, we are talking about the power of tawbah, Maa Sahib. And when he was told this by that monk, this person said, TK, if there's no tawbah, then I'd rather kill you as well. And he took his life, astaghfirullah. And then he met someone else who advised him, nah, Allah can still forgive you. 99 ke upar apne so kar diya, 100 murders, but you can still attain forgiveness. How? Go to the land of the pious and make dua. Allahu, this entire story is in the tafaseer of the Holy Quran and ahadith as well. There are famous prophetic stories from amongst them. This is a very beautiful story, Ya Sayyidi, how this person then went to the place where the pious servants resided and lived. And his niyyah to get there was to use that land to make tawbah, istighfar. Through the wasila and through the medium of approach of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the way, Sayyidi, Maud came to him. Look at that, subhanAllah. Just look at that. How fortunate was that person who advised this person in the first place. And how good luck did this person have that he followed the advice of the pious person. Anyways, when he passed away, the angels came and there was a little dispute amongst where will this person go, towards the hellfire or whether will he go towards Jannah. The matter was that then the order was given was to measure the land. Where was he closer towards? Was he closer towards the place where he left from, or was he closer towards his destination, which was the land of the pious? And after the subhanAllah, the result was that he was closer to the land of the pious people. But because of this action, because of this amal, because of this niyat, he yet did not make tawbah. He only traveled towards the land of tawbah, and Allah forgiven him. Brothers and sisters, this is the power of tawbah. And once I've explained to you what's the power of sincere tawbah itself. So, sincere tawbah is from the heart, from the heart. The problem is that to make others happy, we do lip service. Like how we say we love you, and only the truth Allah knows. Because we say we love the Rasul of Allah Azzawajalla as well. But from our actions, it's so hard for us to follow one sunnah as well. So, from this we will determine how much of love do we have. Likewise, when we say maafi, talafi, okay, I've made you maaf, we shook hands, brothers hugged each other. We're never going to do this sin again, we're never going to commit this mistake again. But then shaitan again pushes a person towards that. Then what happens in the state, Mahasab? A person will commit that sin. He's ashamed for the third time, for the fourth time. What happens thereafter, Mahasab?
Actually, this is also a fear that people have, and therefore they tend to stay away from tawbah.
Huh.
And that they feel that, I'll try, but what happens if I mistakenly fall into the sin again? So the advice that should be for these people is that you must strive and try never to commit the sin again. Strive Allah and Allah. Try never to commit the sin, Allah sin again. Allah. Though if shaitan gets the better of you and you do commit the sin again, make tawbah again.
Usibah.
So never leave the tawbah. Don't think that I may end up, you shouldn't have an intention of committing sin when you're making tawbah, because then that is not a tawbah, you are just playing.
Allah
so
Allah.
Don't play these games, rather. Sincerely repent and sincerely tell yourself, make a commitment in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla that I won't commit the sin again. And if you fear that perhaps one day it could happen, I'm going to try my best, and really hopefully it doesn't, but at least make the tawbah. How do we know whether or not we live to commit the sin again? What happens if, okay, you were going to hold on to your tawbah, but it was such that you feared that in a year's time you might fall back into the sin? You had no intention of it, you were going to strive, but you feared that even not a year, in a month's time, not a month, a week's time, not a week, in a day's time, what guarantee do we have that we'll live to see that next day? We don't have that guarantee. So make the tawbah now. What happens if we pass away? If we pass away, at least you died, you passed away upon tawbah, isn't it? And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, if we do make the tawbah, we just have to try it. We have to do the tawbah part of it. The forgiveness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Holy Quran, فَمَن تَابَ مِن بَعْدِ ظُلْمِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Thus the one who repents after his transgression and reforms himself.
Allah.
So Allah Azza wa Jalla shall pardon him with his mercy. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So we need to make the tawbah, make the sincere intention that I'm going to reform myself. Now this is very important, the reformation part of it as well. Munasab mentioned something so important that if someone has taken someone's haq, let's say someone insulted someone, they hurt someone's feelings, and then in that case, what is it that they're going to do? Are they just going to say, I'm making tawbah, I'm repenting, and that's about it? No, we need to go back and ask for forgiveness. If we've taken the haq of someone, we need to become humble enough to ask for forgiveness. And ask for forgiveness. If you want Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness, and we have wronged someone else, we need to ask them for forgiveness. For example, Munasab have mentioned, sometimes there's, you know, abusive relationships within the marriage. We need to ask for forgiveness if you've hurt someone. We need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness, that please, I was wrong. Please forgive me, and I make a firm niyyah never to do it again. And take some steps, set some steps for you not to end up returning to that sin. If someone is harsh towards his children, he's harsh towards his parents, ask them for forgiveness and take the necessary steps for you not to return to that. That example, if you know that if someone has some bad habit, they're going to they fear committing a certain sin. And let's say, for example, that person feels like it's difficult for me to maybe keep nafli roza. I'm just giving an example. Then tell yourself that if I commit that sin, I will keep nafli three roza, three fasts. And then when you're going to commit the sin, you're going to think, okay, I may have difficulty keeping the three fasts. Or otherwise, I'm going to do this certain thing, I'm going to do that certain thing. So shaitan is going to be fearful that if you fall into that sin, then you're going to do so many good deeds.
Allahu.
And then in that way, at least you push yourself away from the sin. So find ways. And for everyone, those ways are going to be different. But find ways that if I commit the sin again, then I'm going to put myself into having to do these certain a'mal and make good a'mal. Some good amal that I'm going to do. I'm going to give so much of sadaqah in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal if I commit that sin. And then inshallah Azza wa Jal, even if you're feeling like committing the sin, you're going to have to think,
beautiful,
so much I'm going to give. So you're forcing your heart into keeping you away from that sin as well. So put things in place inshallah Azza wa Jal that can serve as barriers to keep you away from the sin. Like how within the country, within whichever country you are, there are certain barriers for you not to commit crimes. Because if you commit the crime, this is what you'll have to do. This is the punishment you're going to get. This is the fine you're going to have to pay, etc., etc. So those serve as barriers for you not to want to commit the crime. So set your barriers. And if you set those barriers, inshallah, azawajal, it'll help you to stay away from those crimes.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah, Maulana Sahib. I really appreciate that. And this made us once again think, Ya Sayyidi, that tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla will refer to also hukukullah.
Yes.
But hukukul ibad is a very intricate one, Ya Sayyidi, you know. Because it's woven with social interactions, Ya Sayyidi.
Absolutely.
We live with each other, we stay with each other, we do business with each other. We do speaking and talking with each other. And thus this relationship is, of course, very close. And the closer we are bound to violate the rights of each other. It's going to happen. And thus, when it comes to the ta'alluq with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the link that we have with our Rabb, it is, of course, woven through ibadat, that we attain His pleasure through worshipping Him. And any mistake is done, we ask Him for forgiveness directly. And Allah Kareem, through the wasila and through the sadaqah of His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will pardon us another person. But who doesn't forgive us, our insan? One brother broke the heart of the next brother. You are begging for forgiveness and he's like, I'm never going to forgive you because it's the third time and the fourth time. But your job is still to ask forgiveness. What keeps us away from seeking forgiveness from each other? I think sometimes, Masab, it is embarrassment and hesitation. Sometimes it's criticism by the family members. Ah, that one I'm going to say, you had a big mouth at that time, but now you went like a cat. Like a mouse, and you went and you sought forgiveness. Sometimes, Masab, people don't like to make forgiveness or ask for ma'af, whether it's tawbah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the reason for this is because of fearing some dunyawi loss. Because until I'm not asking for ma'af, I'm getting it that way. You know, people can't see I'm getting some benefits. But the moment I'm going to regret, it means I'm going to lose out on the benefits as well. Do not fear those benefits, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Do what you have to do, subhanAllah, because life is so short. Our sins aren't leaving us. And our pious predecessors, Imam Ghazali writes, that a pious person would write the sin on the collar of his kurta. And every time he wore the kurta, he would cry. He would cry and he would cry. Somebody asked him, Sayyidi, why? Why did you write that sin on the kurta? And he's like, because every time I wear this particular shirt, I want to be reminded of that sin I committed. So that I could repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla every time I think about that sin.
Allah.
Others were such fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if there was a certain area that they passed years later, they will recall that sin that they committed years before. And now when they're crossing years later, as they pass by that area, they will recall that sin and start crying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Regret. This is that regret Mu'asab speaks about. But unfortunately, we have We have the pillow of sin that we sleep upon, as Amir Ahle Sunnah says in his poetry.
Lagat kiya gunahon ka pada din raat sota hu lagat kiya gunahon ka pada din raat sota hu mujhe is khwab ghaflat se jaga do ya rasul allah mujhe is khwab ghaflat se jaga do ya rasul allah main bachna chahta phir bhi bach nahi pata main bachna chahta hu hai phir bhi bach nahi pata gunahon ki padi hai aisi aadat ya رسول اللہ گناہوں کی نہیں جاتی ہے عادت یا رسول اللہ تم ہی اب کچھ کرو ماہ رسالت یا رسول
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلاۃ و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا نبی اللہ وسلم علیک یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیدی I'm thinking
as you mark that I cut you off I'm just thinking of a beautiful hadith of the beloved Nabi
صلی اللہ علیہ
وسلم that even after his blessed ظاہری وفات apparent demise the beloved Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم when the deeds of the ummah are presented to him and he صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم says if I see good a'mal then I praise Allah. If I see good a'mal, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I see bad a'mal, I make istighfar for my ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes istighfar Allah for his ummah. What a motivation it is.
Allah, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
is so caring for us that he's making istighfar, but we should think as well. We should think as well that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so much for the ummah. What didn't he bring for us? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He brought us the Quran, he brought us iman, he brought us guidance, he brought us hidayah, he brought us to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how can it be such that we can still commit such sins that bring grief to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it must stop us, it must motivate us to move away from there. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing tawbah on our behalf. Can't we try to do tawbah as well? And return to the court of Allah azza wa jal. Oh Allah azza wa jal, please forgive me. Oh Allah azza wa jal, I will not commit this sin again. I will not commit the sin again. Number one is it's being presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How remorseful, how saddened we should be that causing that deeds that cause pain to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be presented in his court that my ummah that I did so much for, see what they are doing.
Allah,
so for this we should not continue committing sins. We need to ask for forgiveness from sins and stay away from them. And then on the day of judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when our book of deeds is open and if we are asked to read in front of the entire creation, because people will be asked to read in front of creation, their deeds will be weighed even in front of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How remorseful you'll feel on that day, or we'll feel on that day, that the sins we committed that we are so ashamed of, on Yawm al-Qiyamah we have to read in front of the entire creation. So while if only we had some chance to erase that sin from that book, that we don't have to read it in front of the entire creation, at least our izzah will be saved. At least our honor will be saved. At least we'll have a face to be able to show. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, taught us, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu." The one who repents from his sin is like one who has not even committed the sin in the first place. So if we sincerely repent, Allah azza wa jal through his mercy will remove that sin from our book of deeds in such a way as if it wasn't there in
Allah,
the first place.
Allah.
At least on Yawmul Qiyamah, we won't have to read that sin in front of the entire creation, in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Creator, and His entire creation, and feel embarrassed about it. We still have the chance to save our dignity through tawbah. May Allah bless us with the tawfiq of tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jal bless us to make sincere tawbah, repent in His court, that our sins may be forgiven and our dignity can be saved.
MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, Mawlana Sahib. This moment that Mawlana Sahib has spared and have shared these beautiful and amazing Madani pearls, Mawlana Sahib, is much, much, much appreciated, Mawlana Sahib. Gosh, we all can make amal upon these beautiful pearls of wisdom that Mawlana Sahib has shared.
Ameen.
Allah Kareem grant us istiqamah.
Ameen.
When Sayyidul Masumeen
Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam would make istighfar 70 to 100 times in a day,
Allah,
this had set the tone for the ummah, for the followers, that your Rasul and our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he does not commit sins, but he will repent in the court of Allah 70 to 100 times in a day. Different riwayat, my brothers in Islam. Sins upon sins are committed and we have not yet asked for forgiveness. So, Mawlana Sahib has given us the motivation. This is the chance you have, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. Ulama Ikram state that recite Astaghfirullah 100 times and then you seek forgiveness in the court of Allah. These are various ways, subhanAllah. Another beautiful dua and supplication to ask is Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besides whom there is none worthy of worship. He is ever living, self-sustaining, and I repent to Him. He is forgiven. That person is forgiven, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So there are a lot of kalam on this matter, how a person's guna is then forgiven when he makes istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we have got the motivation, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, perform your salahs, inshallah, on time. Once again, Madani Channel will present to you this very same program called Reformation of the Ummah, together with our Honorable Mawlana Ziyad Sahib. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we will be back. Keep reciting durood and salawat upon Nabi Akram Nuri Mujassam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of